Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of Daf Samach Beis. Before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at the margin at which we have a nosei, a topic heading under which we've written Talmidim She'okfu Acha Rabbam. We'll see some stories concerning students that followed their rabbis, their teachers, their rebbis, kedei levarer tzuras hanhoga, regarding, in order to clarify, learn the way to behave, bedvorim hadorshim tznius, regarding matters that require modesty. We'll see in the markings that we have a house shape, and under our mivneh heading, which is our structural note, the house is featured, and similarly in the margin, we see the house form, and we've written Shnei Maisim Doimim Bebeis HaKisei, two matters, two similar stories regarding the issue of the bathroom, a place that one would classify or characterize as a place requiring modesty. The Gemara, Tanya, Omar Rebbe Akiva. Also, it's worth noting the names. We've done it with underlining as we go along in the Gemara. The first story has Rabbi Akiva following Rabbi Yeshua into the facilities, and the next story has Ben Azai following Rabbi Akiva, noting that Rabbi Akiva in the first story was a follower, and in the second story, Rabbi Akiva is the one being followed. So, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Pam achas nichnasti acha Rabbi Yeshua lebeis hakisei. Once I followed Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom, and it's worth noting, in order to connect this Gemara into our previous sukkah, that he was located in the Yehuda region of Eretz Yisrael, the region in which the Beis HaMikdash had been located. So Rabbi Akiva tells us that he once followed Rabbi Yeshua into the Beis HaKisei, v'lamadati benu shlosh dvorim, and I learned from his practice, from his behavior there, three things. Number one, lomadati she'ein nifnin mizrachu marav elot safon v'dorom. I learned that one is to position himself when sitting and relieving and defecating. He should be positioned in the Yehuda region, not east-west, but rather north-south. And that conforms to that which we've learned in our previous sugya. V'lamadati she'ein nifroin mi'umor elom yushaven. I learned that one does not reveal himself while standing, but rather while seated. V'lomadati she'en mekanchim b'yamin ela b'smoil, and also learned that one is to wipe himself not with his right hand, but using his left hand. Omar le ben Azai. Ben Azai asks Rabbi Akiva, ad kan he asked upon echo b'rabicho, this far you went in showing boldness regarding your teacher. Amalei, so Rabbi Akiva answered, Toirohi velumoid anitzorech. Conduct is also an aspect of Torah. Conduct in the bathroom is a matter that requires learning, study, and I, in order to achieve that ends, I did what I did. But don't associate it with a function of boldness, but rather how far one would go in order to learn the proper conduct, the Torah way. Tanya, we have another source. Ben Azai Omer, Pam achas nichnasi acha Rabbi Akiva lebeis hakisei. I once followed him into the bathroom. V'lamadati mimenu shlosh dvorim. I learned from him three things. Lomadati she'en nifnin mizrach umarav elo tzofen v'dorom. Lomadati she'en nifroin meumor elo miyushav. And lomadati she'en mekanchem v'yamin elo b'smol. Exactly the same three things that were mentioned in the source just before. Omer lo, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda turns to Ben Azai and says, Ad kan he'asta ponecho b'rabicho. Omer lo, Torahi velumoid ani tzorech. Rav Kahana ol gone tusei puria de Rav. Here we have another story involving Rav Kahana entering the bedroom, private chambers of his teacher, Rav. So Gona, is he's literally reclined, or he slept under the bed, Tusei, underneath Puria, the bed of Rav. And the story here involves Rav Kahana being witness or present to the act of intimacy that Rav conducted with his spouse, with his wife. Now, just on the technical level, Rav Kahana is located under the bed, so we're not dealing with something of a visual nature with regard to Rav Kahana. That would be strictly forbidden. However, he does discover some things. Shamei, Rav Kahana hears the soch, the sochak. He conversed and he laughed. The also tzrochov and did the act of intimacy. Omar Le, Rav Kahana tells Rav, Domi Pume Dabo. This is a possibly a euphemism or an expression. He says the mouth of Abba. Abba is the official name of Rav. So he says that your mouth appears kidalo sorif tavshila, like someone who never tasted any food. In other words, the behavior of Rav with his wife was one of its seeming excitement, and which would characterize someone who's tasting something for the first time. And Rashi says on the second line from the top, like a ravenous individual, that someone that never practiced intimacy ever before, that you're behaving in this lightheaded fashion for your pleasure. Omale, so Rav says to Rav Kahana, Kahana ochaat. Apparently, this story took place in the room at the time of the event. So Rav says to Rav Kahana, he says, Kahana, you're over here. Poke, get out. The lav orachara. It's not proper behavior to be under in such a situation. Omar lo. So Rav Kahana said, Toirohi velumod ani tzorech. How one is to conduct intimacy is also an aspect of Torah, and I have to learn how it's done. The issues concerning talking and conversing and lightheadedness, etc., with one's spouse are alluded to in Maseches Nedorim Daf Chof, and in fact, this is an area of halacha. And what is wondrous about our Torah is how it covers all aspects of life, even the most intimate and private of situations. And that certainly is one lesson that is conveyed by the Gemara that we've learned from today's shiur so far. The Gemara now continues, referring to some of the matters we mentioned earlier. Mitnei ma ein mekanchim b'yimina lebesmoil. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which enables you to line this up with where this was mentioned earlier. Why is it that one does not wipe himself with his right hand, but rather with his left hand? Omar Rava. And you'll notice we have a numbering scheme and also some double underlining. On the side of the Gemara, we have a tat nosei, mivna means a subtopic, because we're continuing with the above topic of the facilities. And we have a double underline, which is a series marking, under the expression mipnei. And the issue here is mipnei ma ein mekanchen b'yamin. Why is it that one does not wipe himself with his right hand? So the Gemara continues with the answers. Omar Rava, mnei shaltura nitno b'yamin. The right hand is representative of the hand with which the Torah was given. Shenemar mimino yesh dos lomo. This pasuk is a reference to the giving of the Torah, and it mentions from the right hand, so to speak, of the Almighty, the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabo bar bar chana omar mitnei shehi krova lepeh. A very simple reason, and it's a hygienic concern. One eats with his right hand, so after using the right hand for the fact that one uses his right hand for eating, so he doesn't want to use that same hand for an area that's of poor hygienic concern. Number three, Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish Omar mitnei shekosher ba tefillin. He uses the right hand to place the tefillin on himself when he wears his tefillin. He puts his tefillin on his left arm, using his right hand to bind them to himself. So out of respect to the right hand, don't use it for something of this non-clean nature. Number four, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar B'nei Shemar Bo Tamei Torah. He uses, the right hand is used by the person standing next to the one who is reading from the Torah. There are hand motions that one makes in order to coordinate or demonstrate the tune, the proper note that's needed for the Torah reading. So that since the right hand is used to show the Tamei Torah, the Torah tunes or Torah notes to the reader, he shouldn't use that same hand for wiping himself. The Gemara points out that what we just saw as four, we just saw different Amoraic opinions. It in fact is this issue is the subject of a Tanaic controversy. Kit Tanoi, as is argued by the Tanoim in the following source, Rabbi Elazar Omer, one does not use his right hand, but Nesha Ochel Ba, he uses it for eating. Rabbi Shua Omer, Nesha Kosev Ba. This is a reason we did not see before, but it's because he uses it for writing. And the allusion here would be to writing Torah. One writes Torah scrolls using his right hand. And another opinion, Rabbi Akiva Mipnei Shemar Bo Tamei Torah, which we saw just now is the fourth Amoraic opinion. That happens to be that of Rabbi Akiva as well. Omer of Tanchum Bar Chaniloi, Kol Hatzonu Beis Hakisei, a person who is modest in his behavior in the bathroom, Nitzol Mishlosh Dvorim, he saves himself from three problems. Number one, Min HaNechoshim, from snakes. Number two, Min HaAkrovim, from scorpions. And number three, Umin HaMazim. V'yesh Omrim, Af Chalomosov Miushavim Olov. And some say he will also have dreams that are peaceful. Rashi says, "Hamalosov mishov malov shein hamazikin mavhilin osali." Demonic forces that get involved with dreams will not cause him fright. Continuing in the Gemara, beforehand though, let's glance at the side. We have a noseya topic heading. Tznius beisakise vagona mitnei hamazikin sham. We'll talk about the issue of modesty in the bathroom and protection against demonic forces that are present there. Hahu Beis Hakisei Dahava B'Tveria, there was a bathroom in Tveria, Kiava Aili Bei Bei Trei, when even two people would enter it, Afilu B'Yamama, even during daytime hours, Mitziki, could be hurt by the demonic forces. If one remembers the very beginning of this Masechta, there was an issue of not entering a ruin for davening, and one should not enter a ruin because of demonic forces, and the Gemara pointed out that if two would enter, so the mazikin wouldn't affect him. Here, this Beis Hakisei was such a we'll call it demonic infested place that even if two would enter, even by day, there would be a problem. The Gemara continues: Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Havu Aili Bei Chad Chad Lechudei Velo Mitziki. These two great rabbis, each one would enter this bathroom in Tveria by themselves and were not affected. Ami hu Rabbonon lo mistafisu. The Rabbonon asked Rabbi Ami and Rabasi, "Are you not afraid?" Amri le anan kabola gamirinon. We have a tradition, and they tell you now a couple of traditions that they have. Kabbalah de Beis Hakisei, the tradition regarding bathrooms, tzniusa ushtikusa, involves modesty and silence, so that if one practices these things, so the mazikin will not bother them. The modesty, we discussed this earlier about how one reveals himself, and that is only while seated, not while standing, and shtikusa, silence, non-talking in the bathroom. And the Kabbalah de Yisuri, a tradition we have regarding one who feels that he's afflicted with suffering, shtikusa umivi rachami, silence and prayer. Rashi says, Kabbalah di suri shtikusa shelo yivai bisurin aboyin olav. A person should not rebel as a result of trouble that he is afflicted with. He should rather remain silent and not rebel, and pray for their departure. Abaye marbe le ime imra lemeel bahade lebesa kise. Abaye, his mother, ime, or the woman who raised him, he was raised by a foster mother, raised for him a sheep that would enter the bathroom together with him. We mentioned a moment before that a person should not enter the bathroom if there's a fear of mazikin. So we saw that that entering by oneself would present a greater problem. So it could be that by having this animal with him, so it will help to ward off those forces. The Rashi says, Marve le Imra. Imra is a sheep. So his mother, his foster mother, raised from a sheep. Megadelis bo lo se umelam dosoi she oilech imo tamid. And it was trained to follow Abaye all over. The Gemara asks, Velirbe le gadya, why not raise for him a goat? Answer, Soyer besoyer michlef. The demon of the Beis HaKisei had a form looking like a goat, so that one could mix up the goat that was raised for his protection with that goat and could encounter danger. Rova mekamidave reshe mekarkish le bas Rav Chisda amguza belakna. Rova, before he became a Rosh Yeshiva, so she would bang a nut in a vessel. Mekarkisha is to bang. A Bas Rav Chisda is the daughter of Chisda, meaning who happened to be Rova's wife. Amguza is a nut, belakna in a vessel. Rashi says, Amguza belakna nesenis egos besefel shel nechoshes. She would place a nut in a copper flask. Umekarkeshes boy mibayas vunifna kinegdo mibachutz. She would bang this setup in the house, while he was relieving himself on the other side of the house wall, on the outside. Apparently, this is tied into what we mentioned before, in order to ward off any demonic forces. The Gemara continues with Rava, Bosser de Molach, after he became a Rosh Yeshiva, and as a result, he needed even more protection from the Mazikin. The Mazikin, these Shadim, these demonic forces, are most interested in trying to topple Talmidei Chachamim more than other people. So, what did she do? Avda le kafsa, she made a window. Umancha le yoda areshe. And while he was relieving himself, so she, from the inside of the house, would place her hand over his head while he was on the outside. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. We have a diamond here, and on the side of the Gemara there are no say mivne heading. We have a diamond featured. Shnei deos binyan harchoko me'achirim b'shal she'oise tzrochov b'chutz. Two opinions of distancing oneself when one is relieving himself outside. So that we're continuing in the realm of modesty, and in the time of the Gemara, the bathrooms were not necessarily indoor facilities, but people would relieve themselves on a surface level, outdoors, and a certain amount of privacy is demanded. Though the Gemara continues, Omar Ula Achorei Hagoder Nifne Miad. If one has a fence, a wall, we'll say a fence, a stone fence, a brick fence, he can relieve himself on the other side, immediately on the other side, meaning there's one side is the street where people are passing, and on the other side is where he is relieving himself. That's the idea of miyad, no need for any additional distancing. This we will contrast that point with the next lashon shortly of that of Isi ben Bar Nosan. Another situation, Ula points out, we call it the Bays situation. But Bika is an open area, no fences. Kolzman she misatesh v'ein chavero shomea. If a person is at a distance that he could misatesh, is to pass wind, it's the noise that one often makes while relieving himself, and his friend will not hear, in other words, it's out of hearing distance, even though there is visual contact, but it's out of hearing range, that's okay. So that according to Ula, the fact that he is visible to others while relieving himself is not of concern. What is of concern is that there's no audio contact. Isi bar noson. We should just clarify, audio contact. We mean one does not hear the misatesh sound that we referred to a moment before. Isi barnoson masni hochi. Isi teaches thusly, and you'll see that he requires greater distance. And the standard that Ula applied to the open area, the bika, he, Isi barnoson, applies to the case of the fence. Achoria goder calls mashi misatesh vein chaveru shomea. That even if you do have a fence, you have to still not only be on the other side of the fence so as to prevent the visual contact, but also there should be no hearing either of the misatesh. Ubabika, and when you're in an open area, calls mashin chaveru ehu. You have to be at such a distance that people will not see you, and only then can you relieve yourself. So that Isi Barnoson is concerned with there should be no visual contact under all circumstances, and when you're dealing with the fence, so. Even though we've prevented the visual contact, he wants also an additional privacy vis-a-vis sound. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a triangle marking, and on the side of the Gemara, we have explained Kushios al Shitas Isi. We're going to raise questions on Isi's teaching. Meisve. The following source deals with people that are placed as guards to prevent produce from becoming tome. They're called shomrei taharois. So the source says yoytzen mipesach beisabad v'nifnin la'achorei hagoder ve'ein tahorin. A person who's a guard on a beisabad is an olive press, and he needs to relieve himself. V'nifnin means they relieve themselves. They can do so lachorei goder, on the other side of the fence, immediately on the other side of the fence, and the items that they were expecting appointed to watch remain tohor. We don't have to worry that some type of tuma came in that interim and ruined it because of their proximity. Now, what do we see? We see that in the fence situation, there is no need for distancing any further than going on to the immediate other side of the fence. And that's not like Isi. So the Gemara answers, B'taharos hekilu. Isi will concede that since we're dealing with someone that there would be a big loss otherwise, the stuff that he was appointed to watch would lose their tohor status, so we are lenient and say you don't have to distance yourself so much. Toshma, another question is raised. Kamo yurchaku v'yutorim. Once again, we're dealing with the shomrei taharos. How far can they distance themselves? And the stuff they're watching remains tahor. Kedei shiei roehu. Enough distance so that they should be able to still see that which they are watching. And if they need to relieve themselves, but they're at the distance, they can still see that which they're watching, then the things will remain tohar. So we see here that there is going to be visual contact while he is relieving himself, and it's okay. That is unlike Isi. The Gemara answers, Shaini ochle taros dakilu behu rabbanan. We are treating this case differently because here we're dealing with food that is people want to eat b'tahara. So we are mekil, so as to preserve their status of tahara, we are lenient with regard to these rules of bathroom. Number two, Rav Ashi Omar, my kolzman she'ein chaveru ro'eh deko Omar Isi Barnosan. In the original statement of Isi Barnosan where the diamond appeared, we saw his Bay's comment was Ubabiku Kozman Shin Chaveiro Roehu. What does that original phrase mean? Let's read that again. My Kozman Shein Chaveiro Roehu Dikomar Isi Bar Noson. Kozman Shein Chaveiro Roya Es Pruo. That the he's at a distance that someone cannot see the revealed part of the individual who is relieving himself. But he can see the person. So that we'll say detail, he's at a distance where body details are not obvious, but the identity of the person is obvious or is visible. That's all you have to distance yourself. So even Isi Bar Noson wasn't requiring such a great distance of non-visibility whatsoever. So that his teaching does not conflict with that which is taught in this source of Kedei She Yehei Roehu. Hahu Savdona Denoches Kamei Derav Nachman. Savdona is a person who eulogized. A eulogizer started to say eulogy of a deceased individual while in the presence of Rav Nachman. Omar, the eulogizer, said, "Hai tsanua beurchuse have." This person was very modest in his ways. Omale Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said to the Safdona, "At aylis bahadei lebeis hakise viadis itzanua ilo." Did you enter with him into the bathroom to know whether he really is tsanua? Desanya, we have a teaching that is ain kurin tsanua elo lemish tsanua beis hakise. One is not referred to using the term modest unless he practices modesty in the bathroom. So obviously, the Safdon didn't go with the deceased into the bathroom. So don't say that he was Tsanua. Say you can say other things, but don't say that. It's not accurate. The Gemara asks, Rav Nachman, my nafgo le mine. What difference does it make to Rav Nachman if the eulogizer was accurate or maybe he exaggerated? So what? Answer, there is something to be concerned with. Mishum, Desanya, there is a teaching, a Tanaic source that says, Kishem Shinifroimin Amesim, just like the deceased is punished in the world to come, as every person has to account for his sins, Kach Nifroimin Asafdonin Umin Oinin Machreim, so too, one is going to be held accountable if he eulogizes inaccurately, and from those that are there and agree and nod in agreement. So it was. So Rav Nachman felt a sense of urgency to protest something, so he shouldn't fall into the category of those listening to eulogies that are inaccurate. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezehu Tsonua. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nose on the side. Shoni bein hanifne biyoyim, linifne belaila biinyon mikum. Tomorrow we'll discuss a distinction or difference between one who relieves himself by day versus one who relieves himself at night regarding location. So we start with a source. Ezu tsanua, what is considered modest? Someone who relieves himself at night in the same place that he would relieve himself by day. And we know by day, as we have alluded to here and we've learned in earlier Gemaras in this Masichta, that by day people would distance themselves from the community, go out into the fields. We're not dealing with a time when there was indoor plumbing. So people would distance themselves by day when there's sunlight, when there's light and visibility. So this source is saying that even at night, one must go to that same distant location. The Gemara asks, is that really so? And we have a long question marking. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? The Homer of Yudomarav, the Olam Yanig Odom Es Atzmo Shachris Varvis, a person should regulate his body in such a way that morning and evening, early morning hours, Shachris is very early, when people are not walking around, and Arvis in the evening, Kadesh Lo Yehe Tzorich Lisrachik, in other words, a person should attempt to adjust his body functions so that he relieves himself, he's able to relieve himself in the early morning and in the evening hours, so as to save himself or obviate the need for distancing himself. So that we see right away, Shaloi Lisrachik. Here's the situation. He doesn't have to, since he's relieving himself at hours other than daytime hours, we're talking about early morning or late evening, but people are not circulating, so he doesn't have to distance himself. The Su Rava, furthermore, involving with Rava, the Imama, have a Ozil Ad Meal. When he needed to relieve himself by day, he would go even a meal, a kilometer outside of town. Ubalela, and at night, Omalei Lishame, he would tell his servant, Ponu li duchta beruchoy v'demasa. Find for me a location. Ponu literally means it's clear away for me, a spot in the street of the city for me to relieve myself. So he's in town while relieving himself, and that's because we're dealing with the night. V'chein omarle Rabbi Zera l'shamei. And similarly, Rabbi Zera would tell his servant, Chazi ma di'iko achorei beis chavrei deboina mutli. Go see if anyone is behind my neighbor's house, so that, you know, if no one's there, I want to make sure no one's there so that I can go and relieve myself. So from all of these points, we see that in the evening, one does not have to go at a distance as he would have otherwise done during the daytime. So the question is raised on the source. How can the source say, as we dashed underlined a few lines above, "V'layla b'mokim shenifne b'yom"? The Gemara answers, "Lo tema b'mokim." Don't say that modesty is defined by one who relieves himself in the same place at night as he would by day. Elo'ema k'derech shenifne b'yom. Rather, the same behavior. True, he'll be much closer to where he lives during nighttime hours, but the same procedure, for example, exposing one's body, it should be done so while seated and not while standing. The halachos we had regarding wiping oneself also would apply equally. Rav Ashi Omar afilu tema b'mochim. Rav Ashi says, even if you maintain the source in its original text and say that modesty is one who relieves himself at night in the same place as he would by day, lo nisrucha elo lekeren zovis. This has relevance when you're dealing with a keren zovis. It means around a corner. Rashi, lekeren zovis, im yesh keren zovis somuch. If there is a corner nearby, tzorich listalek shom b'layla kibiyom. He has to go around the corner at night as he would by day, v'lo ifne begoloi, and not relieve himself in public. Now, it would seem from this that, from Rav Ashi's description, that even during the daytime, if one finds a corner around which he could go, he could do so because there is no visibility, even though it's daytime, but the same thing will apply at night. He has to go around that same corner, so we are able to preserve the equation of daytime with nighttime and refer to same place while speaking about around a corner. Gufa. Here the Gemara quotes that which was mentioned before, by the way, and here we focus on it. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, le'olam yanig odom es asmo shachs ba'arvis. A person should regulate himself so as to relieve him, so as to feel a need for relief in early morning and evening hours. Kedesh lo yitzorach lisrachi, so as to save himself from the need from distancing himself, which would otherwise be necessary if he was relieving himself during the daytime. Tanya Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source, supports this. Ben Azai Omer, Hashkem Vitzei, Hare Vitzei, Kedei Shelo Tisrachik. Get up early and then and say and go out and relieve yourself. And in the evening, regulate yourself that you should then need to relieve yourself so that you can save yourself from the need of distancing. Mishamesh Vishav, Ve'al Teshev Utemashmesh. Sometimes, in order to enable oneself to defecate more easily, so a type of feeling or manipulation, handling of that area of the anatomy takes place. Rashi says, "Mishamesh b'tzror o b'kesam liftoch nikovim," using a stone or a some type of stick to open up the orifice. One should, if one does that, he should do that. He should do that and then sit down and not be seated and do that. One who, while seated, does that, he subjects himself to being affected by black magic, even if it's being practiced at some very far away location. Just reading that line again with a translation. Even if they are practicing black magic in Aspamia, Aspamia is a location, a state that's very far away. Boy in love, they will afflict someone who does this, who, while seated, is mimashmesh. Let's say a person forgot himself and he sat down and then manipulated that area. What solution does he have to save himself? Because once he's done that, so we said he makes himself susceptible to the effects of kshafim, even if done at a faraway place. So the Gemara answers, the way he can save himself is kikoi, when he gets up, lei mohachi. He should say the following incantation. So we will just read the next line, and as far as an attempt to explain the line, we will leave that to you to look into the Rashi. We're going to read this simply as an incantation. So he should say thusly, lo li, lo li, lo tochim, v'lo tachtim, lo hani, v'lo mehani, lo harshi deharsha, v'lo harshi deharshisa. He's attempting to remove himself, or a type of disclaimer with regard to any association with black magic. Continuing with the top of Amud Beis, Tanya ben Azai Omer, al kol mishkov shchav, one who wants to recline, so recline anywhere, chutz min akarka, except for on the ground. Al kol moshev shev, chutz min hakura, sit on anything except for on a beam, for fear of it falling. Omar Shmuel, shina b'amud hashachar, sleep at after dawn. We're talking about the very early morning hours. If one sleeps during that time, ke'istama leparzela. Rashi says, shemoil lebarzel, kach moil leguf, yitzia lehiponos.
Istama is a type of utensil that is used for apparently for cutting iron. So shina at we should just point out the Rashi that we read is relevant really for the next statement in the Gemara, but the first statement that was made here regarding Amud HaShachar involves sleep at that time is very beneficial. Just like this implement can cut iron, it has an effect on it. And the second point that's made is what we saw in the Rashi a moment before, is Yitzio Bamud HaShachar, one who regulates himself to relieve himself at that time of day, Ki'istimol leparzel, it's also very beneficial for him. The Gemara continues, Bar Kapora hafa mazvin mili bedinri. Bar Kapora used to be a person who sold words, literally words, we could say pithy statements, poems. He was a master of language, so he would sell his works for a price, for coins, dinri as an amount of money. And he would he had the following saying, Ad dekafnis echol, when one is hungry, then one should eat. In other words, a person might feel a sense of hunger and postpone eating for a while. When the feeling of hunger passes, that's not good. A person should eat when he feels a sense of hunger. Adit tzochis shasi, when one feels thirst, tzochis has to be thirsty, then drink. Adirasha kidercha shvoch. When you feel a need to relieve yourself, go and relieve yourself. Again, don't delay. Karno karya baromi, when the trumpet plays in Rome, which is a reference to the call for people that want to buy figs, when the call is sounded. So bar mazmeteni teni davuch zovin. If you're the son of a fig salesman, sell your figs immediately. Rashi explains this a little more. Karna kari baromi. The second line. Rashi occupies both columns, so we're in the outside column of Rashi. Im kishma kol karen baromi. If you hear the sound of the horn in Rome, hu simin lemavakshi tenim liknos. It's a sign for those that are interested in buying figs to go and buy. Apparently we're dealing with a commercial chain a chain of sale whereby you have producers and wholesalers that will buy the figs from the producers and sell them, take them to sell somewhere else. So bar mazen teni teni dovulsov, and Rashi says im ein ovich. If your father is not home, hizoher ato beno limkor teinov ba'o sheish toivim. So you take over and take the figs and sell them to the wholesalers while the wholesalers are interested in buying. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Omar lehu abaye l'rabbanan ki ailisu b'shvili demchuza lemepak bechaklo. When going into the shvili, the streets of Mechuzah, of the city Mechuzah, and your purpose in going to the streets is in order to get to the road leading to the fields. That's lemeipak bei bechakla, to go out to see your fields. Lo techsu lo lahakisav lo lahakisav, don't look nor to one side nor to the other. Dilmo yasvi noshi, because along the sides of the streets there may be women seated, and it's not proper behavior to look, to gaze upon women. So one should practice called eye modesty or eye control when out on the streets. Rav Safra ol lebeis akise. Rav Safra entered a bathroom to relieve himself. Also Rabbi Abba nochar le'abava. Rabbi Abba came to that same facility and he made a grunting sound at the door to this bathroom, or called the outhouse, making the noise to determine whether someone was inside. In other words, he would make a noise, and then if someone was inside, there would be some kind of reaction coming from within, indicating that someone was there. Omar Leil Mar, so Rav Safra said, he verbalized, come in. In other words, he didn't bang or make some type of some simple audio contact, but actual made verbal contact, verbal communication by saying, come in. Boser Denofik, Omar Leil, after he exited, so Rabbi Abba said to Rav Safra, Ad hashtalo ailus l'seir v'gamus loch mili l'seir. the Seir. You haven't even gone to the land of Seir. Seir is the land of the Edomites, which are associated as being non-modest individuals, certainly with regard to bathroom matters. And you haven't even come to their community, and you still learned their ways. And what is Rabbi Abba referring to? He's referring to the fact that Rav Safra spoke while in the bathroom. Lav hochitnan, have we not learned the following? And this is all of this is Rabbi Abba's objection, we'll say, to Rav Safra's behavior. So he is, we'll call it his rebuking of Rabbi Safra, and he continues to say, "Lav hochitnan, did we not learn the following?" There's a Mishnah here from Maseches Tomid which describes aspects of the Temple Mount and the Beis Hamikdash, and it says, "Medura hoisa sham ubeis hakisa shel kavod." There was a fireplace where the Kohen would immerse himself. And there was also a fireplace in the area of a mikveh where the kohen would immerse himself, and there was a bathroom. It's basically kisei shel kavod, a bathroom of honor. What does that mean? Vezeh hoya kvodo. The following was the honor associated with the bathroom there in the Beis Hamikdash. Motzei no'ol v'yodua shiyei shom odom. If you found it locked, you knew someone was there. Motzei basuch, if you found the door open, v'yodua shein shom odom. You would know that no one is there. What is the point? Almo lav orach arahu. You see from here, it's not the right way to speak with when in the bathroom. In order to determine vacancy or not, there is no need for talking. And you spoke. And this is all Rabbi Abba's rebuking of Rav Safra. Now, the who Savar, Rav Safra, in speaking, calculated something else. In other words, Rav Safra was also aware of the importance of remaining silent in the bathroom. However, he thought, who Savar, Mesukan who, that the one outside was in danger of what's called omud hachozer, and therefore he didn't want to take any chances. So just he said, "Come in." What is the danger? Desanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, omud hachozer mevias odom l'day hadroiken. This is a situation where a person who has a need for relieving himself of solid waste of feces, but withdraws it into his body. That brings a person to a disease called hedroiken. Silon achizer, maybe it's odom lidei yirokon. Silon is urine that one draws back in, so to speak, can lead a person to suffer from the disease of yirokon. Rashi explains, four lines from the end of the outer column, he says, v'hu savar, Rav Safra, she miher lo maleomor, Rav Safra, who hastened to say, come in, Savar Mesukan who, he figured that the one outside, who turned out to be Rabbi Abba, was in danger. The Omud Hachozer im Yoshuv Lachorov v'yachzor Omud. If he would hesitate in coming in other words, if he would hear someone, if he would hear me inside, so he might withdraw. Therefore, it was necessary for me to indicate, come in. Because if he would withdraw and he was in the situation of what was referred to as Omud HaChozer, he would be subjecting himself to this particular disease of Hadroiken. So as to forestall that, Rav Safra, will say, violated a technicality of bathroom modesty in favor of ensuring health. Rabbi Elazar ol the Beis HaKisei. Rabbi Elazar entered a bathroom. Osa ha'u parso. Some type of foreign nationality individual, parso can be translated as a Persian, came dochake, and he pushed Rabbi Elazar out of the bathroom. Kom Rabbi Elazar v'nofak, so he got up and left. Osa dar koinos shamtei l'karkishei. Darkona, some type of creature, maybe some type of lizard, serpent, or other type of reptile, came and bit him, bit the goy, bit this Gentile at his at that part of his anatomy that was engaged in relief. That's the karkashe, his anus area. Kori ole Rebelozer. Rebelozer, looking, seeing, noting this incident, said, "Ve'tein odom tachtecho, al tikri odom elo edom." He says, "I will place a man in your stead." And he says, don't read the word as odom, a man, but rather edom. Edom, referring to that foreign nationality. That, in effect, the this bullying Edomite simply set up his own downfall. The pasuk continues and says, you should just note that the background of this pasuk is David, King David. David, before he was actual king, he said to Shaul, Shaul had been in pursuit of David to kill him. And David said to Shaul, as he left the cave, they had actually, unbeknownst to Shaul, there was a type of encounter between the two, but as we say, unbeknownst to Shaul, where David met up with Shaul in a cave when Shaul had gone into this cave to relieve himself. And David says to Shaul, "V'omar lo'orgecha v'techas olecha." The grammar of this pasuk is questionable. V'omarti miboyalei. It should have said, "And I could have killed you." Vatechas, vechasti miboyalei. The word vatechas is, "And it had compassion." What do you mean, "And it had compassion"? I had compassion. The pasuk should have read, "V'omarti lahargecha, vechasti olecha." I could have killed you, but I had compassion. How do you explain this pasuk in its current grammatical state? Amar Reb Elozer, Amar lo David l'shaul. Reb Elozer explains that David said to Shaul, "Min haTorah ben harigo ata sherei roide fata." From the Torah perspective, you are you're subject to death, meaning I have a right to kill you because you are in pursuit of me. But Torah Omra, the Torah declares, notice we've dashed underline Omra, because this corresponds to the word V'omar before. The Torah says, Bo lahor g'cho ashkim logo, someone who comes to kill you, kill him first. Elatznius sh'oisabach, hi chosa lecha. Again, we've dashed underline chosa. At the modesty that you have, you're a modest individual. And by the way, we pointed out earlier that snus, the term modesty, is referred to only with regard to people that are modest in the bathroom. We'll have to see how Shaul is associated with that momentarily, but he is described as sonua. It's the snus that is a part of you that had compassion over you. So that the on the one hand, by letter of the law, you are subject to being killed. I could have killed you. But the Torah and its teaching enters the picture, and the modesty that you have comes and enters the picture and serves as compassion, sparing your life. Well, my he, what is the tznius of Shaul? Dichtiv. The pasuk says, Vayovel el gidrei hatzoin el aladerech v'sham ma'ora vayovel Shaul lahosech es raglov. Shaul arrived at a place where there was a cave, and he entered in order to lahosech es raglov. Literally, or we should say, for the simple meaning of the pasuk is he went there to relieve himself, to defecate. Tana, the Tana explains, referring to this pasuk, said gidrei hatzoin. The word gidros, geder, can mean a fence. And gidros would mean a double fence. Geder lifnim min hageder. There was an area that had an inner fence and an outer fence. Uma'ora lifnim mima'ora, and a cave within a cave. So he went into this very inner type location. Not only were there two fences there, but there's a cave and a cave within the cave. Lahasech. Omer of Elazar, Melamed Shesikech Atzmo Kesuka. Not only did he go into this very inner chamber, but he also covered himself like a sukkah covers somebody. A sukkah is a, as everyone knows what a sukkah booth is, and it's covered with schach, which is a covering. So that Shaul went into this cave and covered himself all in the attempt to practice extreme modesty in this act of relieving himself. So because of this, his life was spared. Vayokum David vayichras es knaf amiyul asher l'shol balat. In that cave incident, where David had been in hiding, what David did is he cut off a corner of Shaul's garment in Bilat, in silence. Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, call him Mevazis of Begodim Sof Eino Nene Mehem. David, he was trying to demonstrate to Shaul that he was there and could have killed him, but didn't, and therefore, just like I had mercy on you, should have mercy on me. But nevertheless, in order to demonstrate this, it involved David cutting the garment of Shaul. That's a form of defaming, belittling a garment by damaging it, by cutting it off like that. So the result of this is that people who denigrate garments themselves will come to a point they won't benefit from them. Shenemar, the pasuk describing David in his old age says, "Vamelech David zaken bo biyomim." David had reached seniority age-wise. Vayechasu bivgadim v'lo yicham lo, and they attempted to clothe him, but the clothing did not provide any heat for him. So what we're supposed to see here from here is, and we've dashed on v'lo yicham lo, because this is the point, because he was years before mevaze begadim, so in the end he ended up not benefiting from them. The pasuk says, "Im Hashem isitcha bi yorach mincha." Here, David is saying that he's saying, "If Hashem may sit is to seduce, to convince someone." It's often used in a negative context. The word hasota, pasuk talks about Mesis in the Torah, of someone who tries to convince someone else to serve idolatry. So here David is saying, if Hashem seduced you against me. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, upon hearing David describe the Almighty as a Mesis, he says, "Mesis, chorusly, you call me a seducer. I'm going to cause you to stumble over something that even children know is improper." The pasuk tells us that when taking a census of the Jewish people, one is not to count them individually, but rather coins are given, representative of each individual, and through counting the coins you then can determine how many people there are, and and that will save the Jewish people from punishment, from a plague. In other words, the census taking through counting individuals can lead to a magefa, a plague. So to avoid that, we pay coins representative of the individuals. So the pasuk says, "Lichti kisisa es roish bnei Yisrael lufkudeham v'nosnu ish koifer nafshoi." And the pasuk goes on to say, "Lashem bifkoid oisam v'li ebrahim negev bifkoid oisam." This is a pasuk in Shmois, Parshas Kisisa, and being that it's a pasuk in Shmos, it's referred to as something that even the Tinoikish shall base Rabban Yodim, so children even know this, they study Chumash. And regarding David HaMelech, he conducted a a census without collecting the coins. Miyad, after Hashem had said, Hashem was upset at David for having been referred to as a Mesis, he says, Vayamod, the Pasuk says, Vayamod Satan Yisrael, the Satan arose. Uksiv, Vayoses is David, and notice the word Vayoses, this is the connection, if you will, to his being referred, his David's referring to Hashem as a Mesis, Vayoses is David Bohem, Lamor, and the Satan seduced David against the Jews, Lamor, saying thusly, Lech Minei Yisrael, go and count them. The Kevan de Moninu, Lo Shaka Minei Kofer, and when he did the counting, he didn't take from them the Kofer. The Kofer literally is the atonement, but it's a reference to the coins, as we saw in the Pasuk before in Shmois, Vayinosish Kofer Nafsho. He didn't collect the Kofer, the coins, Dichtiv, and it says, Vayitin Hashem Dever Bisrael Meboker V'ad Eis Moed. And in fact, the Dever, the plague, did afflict the people of Israel from the morning until Eis Moed. My Eis Moed, what is that? Omar Shmuel Sabos Hasne de Rebbe Chanina Mishmei de Rebbe Chanina. So we have this teaching in the name of Rebbe Chanina that says, Mishas Shchitas Atomid Ad Shaz Rikoso. From the time of the slaughtering of the daily morning sacrifice, the Tomid, until the sprinkling of its blood, which is not very much time. So from during that span of time, the Dever, the plague, afflicted them. And all of this is as a result of the David's making a census without coins, but rather a direct counting. Rebbe Yochanan Omar Ad Chatzos Mamash, that Ad Eis Moed means until midday, much longer, from the early morning hours when the Tomid is slaughtered until midday is quite a few hours of plague. Vayomer L'malach HaMashchis Ba'om Rav. This is a continuation of the topic involving the plague. And the Gemara here asks, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Le'a Kodesh Baruch Hu L'malach. More accurate to say it's not a question, but we're coming to explain what took place in this pasuk. The Almighty said to the Malach that was overseeing or that was responsible for this particular plague. He says to the Malach, to the angel, Toli Rav Shebohem Sheish Boli Pora Mem Kama Choyvois. I want you to take from them, in other words, take his life, a great man from their midst, through whom I can collect many, many debts. In other words, the Almighty is turning to this Malach and saying, I want you to bring to me, to kill from them, an important individual. At that moment, this person, Avishai ben Tzruya, died. Sheshokul Kerubo Shel Sanhedrin. His value was like the majority of the high court. In other words, he had a person value of 36 high court judges. The Pasuk continues, or we should say, the Gemara continues with the Pasuk, but also from the same context. Ubahashchis ro Hashem vayinochem, and when this plague was taking place, regarding the incident with David and his incorrect census taking, so it says that when the destruction was taking place, Hashem saw and was consoled, and vayinochem is an expression associated with consolation or change of mind as well, a change of state of mind, as is the case with consolation. So when Hashem saw, he was then consoled. My raw, what did he see? Here you'll see a number of opinions. We've highlighted them using a diamond marking. You can see on the side of the Gemara there are a Mivneh heading, Arba Pirushim al Kavonas Ra'a, the Pasuk Rashi's Ra'a Hashem Vayinochem. Four opinions as to what the word ra'ah, he saw, is referring to. So Omar Rav, ra'ah Yankiv Avinu. the Almighty saw at that moment, he saw our forefather Jacob. So you see in the context of Yaakov, the word ro'om, where he saw them. But by the Kodesh Baruch Hu seeing the Yaakov Avinu, that had the effect of stopping the plague. Ushmul Amar Ephro Shi Yitzchok Ra, literally the ash of Yitzchok, but Yitzchok was not turned into ash. It's a reference rather to the Akedah, the Akedah's Yitzchok, that during which a ram was offered instead, and that ram was offered as a sacrifice and burnt. So this is what the Almighty saw at that moment. Shenemar Elokim Yireh Lo Haseh, and here you see the word Yireh associated with the original Vahashis Ro'o Hashem. Rav Yitzchok Nachomar Kesef Kippurim Ro'o. He saw the money that in the past had been collected from the Jewish people in their we'll call it the original census. Shenemar Velokachtas Kesef HaKippurim Me'eis B'nei Yisrael. So he saw that in the past they had collected the coins for their census. And if we look at Rashi, Rashi occupies, as we mentioned, both columns. Here Rashi on the inside, column halfway down, Kesef Kippur Ra, Shenasan B'minyan Rishon Shel Yisrael, L'Mishkan, the coins that they gave in the original census, for and the coins which were eventually used for the building of the Mishkan, Vuh Kiper Al Minyan Zeh, that served as an atonement for this miscounting, or improper counting. Sharei lezichron nasan gichti voyel de Israel lezichron lechaper. The achshav hutzuchu kaparosa. When that money was given, it was given as a type of insurance policy that if there should ever need the rise for atonement, then let these monies that we're collecting now at the time of the Mishkan, many many hundreds of years earlier, let them serve as an atonement for a type of future, for a future need, as is the case here. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, this is a fourth opinion. Beis Hamikdash Ra, Lichtiv Bahar Hashem Ye Ra'eh, the Almighty saw the Beis Hamikdash. And this is interesting because David HaMelech lived at a time before the Beis Hamikdash, so we're talking about something of a future nature. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu saw, and nevertheless, we should point out that the pasuk referred to is way back at the time of Avraham Avinu. That Bahar Hashem Yireh, Har Hashem is a reference to where the Beis Hamikdash eventually would be built. Pligi bar of Yankiv bar Idi, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Chadomar, we have a machlokus between these two rabbis regarding the pasuk that we are explaining, the Hashkis Ra Hashem. So one says, Kesef HaKippurim Ra, like the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, and V'chalamar Beis HaMikdash Ra, like the last opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that we just saw. Umistabro Keman De'omar Beis HaMikdash Ra, and it's more most likely like that opinion, Shenemar Asher Ye Omer Yom Bahar Hashem Ye Ra'eh. So because of that pasuk, it's felt that that's the most likely pshat. Lo Yikones Odom Lahar Abayis B'maklo V'lo Ya'asenu Kapandaria. That was taught in our Mishnah, that the Har Abayis should be treated with dignity, and amongst other things, the Mishnah said, Lo Ya'asenu Kapandaria, don't make it, or don't allow it to serve as a Kapandaria. My Kapandaria, Omar Rova Kapandaria Kishma. Kapandaria means a shortcut. You don't use the Beis HaMikdash, or the Har Abayis, as a shortcut of cutting through it if you're trying to get to the other side, but rather go around. Rav Chana Bar Ado Mishmeder of Sama Breder of Mori Omar, he adds a dimension of understanding to the word Kapandaria, and says that in fact Kapandaria is a contraction. Kamandu Omar Inish, as people would say, Adimakifno Adori Eil Baha. instead of our going around the rows, in other words, there might be a neighborhood made of rows and rows of houses, instead of going around the houses, let's cut right through. So the word kapandaria, you can see, is made up of letters representing these a couple of these words. You have ademakifna, you have the kuf and the pei here, and you've got adori, the rows of houses with the dalet and the resh. Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Hanichnas Lebeis HaKnesses Almanash Shelo La'asosa Kapandaria. If one enters a shul for, say, prayer purposes, he's not entering it for it serving as a shortcut. Mutur La'asosa Kapandaria. You can use it as a shortcut, which would mean that when you're finished in the shul, you can go out we'll call it the opposite entrance, opposite doorway, which is the point at which you want to get to anyway, and we don't require you to exit the shul and go all the way around. And once again, this is because when you entered the shul, you didn't enter it for the purpose of using it as a shortcut. Rabbi Avo Omar, im hoya shvil meikoro muter. If a shul was built over a place that originally was a path, there had been a pathway leading from point A to point B, and now that the shul was built over it, one might think that, well, he's got to now his path will be lengthened because he's got to walk around the shul. So we say that if there was a path beforehand, it is allowed to, the shul can be used as a shortcut, meaning you're basically using the shul as it originally was, the path over which the shul had been built. Amar of Chelbo, Amar of Huna, Anichnas lebeis haknesses lispalel, one who enters a shul for prayer, mutur la'asoso kapandaria. Maybe for the greater accuracy, the statement taught before would have included this, where it said one who entered a shul amanash shelo la'asoso kapandaria. If one entered a shul for some reason other than a shortcut, but that would include the case of entering for davening, or maybe entered it to fix something in there, or to deposit something there. Whatever the case is, he entered for a purpose other than shortcut. And here it's more specific: one who enters a shul for davening, mutur la'asoso kapandaria. He is allowed to, when finishing, to go out the opposite entrance, which shortens his need for walking. There is a comment or a girsa change found in the Gra that says mitzvah la'asoso kapandaria, that it's actually a mitzvah to walk out the opposite entrance. Shenemar, because in the context of the Beis Hamikdash, you find something like this. It says uvavo am oritz lefnei Hashem b'moadim. Habo derech shar tzofon lishtachavos yetzei derech shar negev, that one who came on the holidays to the shul, came to the Beis Hamikdash on the holidays, and he entered through the northern gate, he shall leave through the southern gate. And one who came in, it says habo derech shar negev yetzei derech shar tzofona. So that what we see in this pasuk is that one who enters a particular gate does not exit the same gate, but exits the opposite gate. Urukiko nikavachomer. Our Mishnah had taught that a number of things one is supposed to avoid doing on the Har HaBayis, and spitting can be learned as certainly forbidden through Kal Vachomer logic. Omar Rav Bevai, Omar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Kolo Roikik Bar HaBayis Bizman HaZeh Kilu Roikik Bevas Eino. Anyone who spits on the Temple Mount nowadays, when the Temple is in ruins, it's as if he's spitting in the eye, the pupil of the eye of the Almighty, so to speak. Shinemar Voya Enai, My eyes and heart are there all the time, even in ruin. Omar Rava, Rikika Bebeis HaKnesses, Sharia. Rava takes the opinion that spitting in a shul is allowed. It might be pointed out on a certain pragmatic level that the shul referred to is very likely, but we're not going to guarantee this shot or commit ourselves. But on a practical level, certainly if you assume that you're dealing with a dirt floor, it'll be a little more palatable to accept this particular approach, this teaching. Spitting on an inside a shul, again, as we said, let's just assume that we're dealing with a dirt floor, is allowed. Mididahave aminol, similar to the rule regarding a shoe. Ma aminol barabayas osir bebeis haknesses mutter. Just like with regard to shoes, on the Temple Mount they're forbidden, but it's allowed in a shul. Afrikika barabayas hudasir. So too with regard to spitting on the Temple Mount, it's forbidden. Bebeis haknesses, sorry, but in a shul it would be allowed. Amale Rav Papa L'Rava, V'Amri Lo Ravino L'Rava, V'Amri Lo Rav Ado Bar Matona L'Rava. A series of different name possibilities. The question that's raised against Rava is, Adi Yolef Mimino, Nelef Mimkapadarya. Instead of learning your leniency by arguing from the shoe example, why not learn stringency using the shortcut example? Namely, in the case of Harabayas, a shortcut is forbidden. And in the case of Harabayas, spitting is forbidden. In the case of a shul, kampadarya is usur. Using the shul as a shortcut is forbidden. So too, spitting should be usur in a shul. Omar Lay, so Rava answers, Tana Yolef Miminol. The Tana uses the shoe as his point of reference. Viat Amis Bikapandarya. You're coming to outdo the Tana by suggesting to use Kampandarya. Mahi, what is the reference to the Tana's use of shul as point of reference? Shoe as his point of reference. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, and you'll notice it goes till the middle of the bottom line, but within the source we've dashed underline the key expression where the Tana uses Shu as his point of reference. So if the source reads, Lo yikones odom lahar abayas, a person should not enter the Temple Mount, lo b'maklo should be odom, not with a walking staff, v'lo b'minol shmeragl, nor with shoes on his feet, v'lo mo'ol shatsurim, lo b'sadino, and not with cash wrapped in a cloth, nor in a money belt slung over his shoulder. And you should not use the harabayas as a shortcut. And spitting, as can be derived through a kavachomer, from a shoe. But now here we see a connection between the issue of spitting and its prohibition, derived from shu. And how is that? Uma minol shein bo derech bizayon. Mind you, a shu where there is no denigration involved. Omra Torah shal nechem raglecha. The Torah addresses Moshe Rabbeinu and says, take your shoes off your feet, you're standing on a holy place. Rekiko shi derech bizayon, the spinning, which is something that is of a denigrating nature, low kol shekain, certainly in a holy place shall be forbidden. And the holy place, a reference to the Har Habayis. Rabbi Yossi Revito Omer, Eino Tzorech. You don't need that proof. Hareyu Omer, Ki Ein Lavo El Shara Melech B'Levush Sok. The Pasuk in the case of Esther says that one is not to enter the king's palace with sackcloth. Followed Dvoram Kavachomer. Sackcloth, which is not something that's disgusting in the eyes of people, and yet it is forbidden in the king's palace. Rikiko shi mousa, spitting, which is disgusting. In the face of the King of Kings, the Almighty, all the more so. So the Rava's response then to those whoever was asking, we saw a number of different possibilities name-wise. It says, why are you trying to suggest stringency through Kampandarya when you see the Tana argues or constructs logical arguments regarding spitting based on shoe and using the shoe in an argument formulation? When it comes to a synagogue, one comes out with a leniency, as I demonstrated above. Amar Le, so the questioner says back to Rava, Ano hochi kuamina, I am saying thusly, Nema hocha lechumra v'hocha lechumra, why not apply logic regarding both places, the Temple Mount and a synagogue, in the direction of stringency, the Ema, and say as follows, and here we continue at the top of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and say thusly, Har Habayis the Osir b'minol, Temple Mount, which is forbidden shoe-wise, Leofo miminol. So learn the rule of spitting from shoe. In other words, the goal is to exercise stringency, both regarding Temple Mount and shul. As far as the spitting on Temple Mount, you can learn that from the rule of shoes and come to the conclusion of spitting being also on Temple Mount. Avol Beis HaKesis Deshori B'minol, a synagogue which is permitted with regard to shoes, Adi Yolef Mimino L'Heter, instead of learning the rules of spitting from shoes and result in a leniency, in an allowance, Nelef Mikapandario V'Lesar, learn the rule of spitting from the rule of shortcuts, and the result will be spitting to be forbidden in a synagogue. So how does Rava know that spitting in a synagogue will be allowed? Elo Amar Rava. So here you can see we have a second stage of Rava analysis, and you can see that we've marked this as well with a double underline and assigned it a number 2. Rava says, you want to know how I know that spitting in a shul should be allowed? Ki beso. No, like a person's house. Ma beso, akapandarya, kopidinish, arakiko mino lo kopidinish. Just like one's house, a person is mindful of someone using his house as a shortcut, but does not mind, one spits in one's house and one wears shoes in one's house. He's not upset by those things. Af beis haknesis, kapandarya, hu da'asir, a shortcut is forbidden. That's as far as a shul is concerned. Rikiko minol, shari. But spitting and wearing of shoes in a shul are allowed. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi, Tosfos presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.